Blog Talk Radio.
I knew who John Cena was. I knew who Brock was. I knew who Goldberg was. But he sits down, and I just see SmackDown. I'm like, okay, you know, it's a, okay. And then I hear the New Day song pop up. And they came out, and they were so bright and colorful, and I was hooked because they were funny as heck. So I started watching more wrestling. I started learning more about it. And then a friend of ours went to Ben and said, hey, do you know that there's a local wrestling company? It's a club. Like, do you want to try out? And he was gung-ho about it. And I was just kind of like, oh, okay, I'll just go out and try it. I went out. That was some of the most fun I have ever had, rolling around in a ring. And I've just been hooked ever since. And, yeah, that's the story.
Now, when you decide to get into professional wrestling, did you have any preconceived notions of what being in the business would be, or did you come in with a completely blank slate and not really know what you were going to get into at that point?
Completely blank slate. Like, you know, you hear about the drama of the bigger companies, but I never believed it because I figured a lot of that was just made up. But things like the actual work that goes into wrestling and taking the moves, learning the moves, learning not to, you know, maim your opponent in a horrific way. And I was shocked about just how much work goes into it. So completely blank slate, thrown straight into the deep end, like, hey, this is how we do it. And yeah, it was pretty awesome. It wasn't what I expected.
Our regular listeners to this show will know that Wrestle Club is an Idaho-based company, and all of their events tie into the community, be it wrestling at festivals or wrestling with fundraising for whatever charity attached to it. But they always work with the community in and around Boise. What's it like working for a company knowing that not only are you in professional wrestling and the entertainment business, you're also helping out the community?
I love it. I love being in a company where it's not out just for profit, but it is that we're helping people. I've commentated multiple shows where we were raising money for someone's family. We were raising money for a local charity. I know we did a fundraiser that helped get a school band to a competition. We raised money for a family who had lost one of their little daughters. So it drives me more to want to put more effort into making this club shine with whatever hat I'm wearing that day, knowing that those efforts are going to enrich and improve somebody's life.
As I said in the opening, you have occasionally got into the mix yourself in battle royals, much to the shock and awe of the fans in attendance, and on at least a couple of occasions myself. What made you decide to enter battle royals here and there?
So originally, I was training to be a straight-on competitor. Like, I wanted to get in the ring, and I wanted to pull the moves off and do the flips off the top rope. Well, unfortunately, I had an accident. I was trying to jump back into the ring. My foot caught the top rope, and I fell on my head. I was in a neck brace for six months. So I was unable to practice, and then even after that, I still had pain, and I wasn't able to practice. So, but in place of that, that's where I started reaching out to the other jobs of this company. That's how I got into the commentating and into the filming and whatnot. Then last year, I went to college for cosmetology, so that was another 9 months of not being able to practice. But again, I was using that time to hone the skills I have now. But now I am back into practice, going twice a week now, because I am determined to get back into that ring and wrestle my first opponent this year.
I love the tenacity, and I can relate to hooking a foot on a top rope and falling on one's head.
Ooh.
And we do have a question from longtime listener and former guest of this very show, Sabotage Brandon Styles. He says, "Dear Paris, do you have any plans to enter any more battle royals? Sincerely, Sabotage Brandon Styles."
Absolutely. Anytime there's a battle royale, I am just pumping at the bit. Put me in, coach. Even if I get yeeted out of the ring, I don't care. I want to get into that ring, and I want to have some fun.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Coach Mike Jones, you might have to put her in. She specifically requested it.
Exactly. Go get him, yes.
Got the heart of a lion and the roar of a kitten.
Now, in addition to what you do at the live events with Wrestle Club, you also have the popular YouTube series Tea Time with Paris, where you interview various Wrestle Club personalities. What sprung to your mind that sparked getting Tea Time with Paris to the viewers?
So I'll go back to what I mentioned earlier about when I was hurt and I wasn't able to practice, and I wanted more, and I was sitting there thinking to myself, okay, you can't practice, stop feeling sorry for yourself and think of how you can take that energy and make something productive. So I was sitting and I was watching AEW, and AEW came on with Danhausen. And I sat and I watched those two, and I was laughing so hard. And that gave me a different kind of perspective of, like, this is the fun. This is the fun that got me wanting to do wrestling. this fun, silly, goofy stuff. And I was like, well, WrestleClub doesn't have that. WrestleClub doesn't have anything like that. Well, what if I pioneered that? So I put together just a little plan. I made like a demo reel. I showed it to all of them, and they're like, yeah, that was fine. You know, go ahead and do that. So I got my first guest, and it definitely shows. It's a first-time video, but the enthusiasm from the guys is what kept me doing it and kept pushing me to improve. They are such characters. They all have such wonderful, unique personalities. And there was never really a chance for them to show that. Like, you can't really learn a lot about a wrestler's personality, wants, likes, dislikes, beef in like a 10, 15-minute match. So I took it upon myself. I needed a purpose in club besides just being a random backstage person. I wanted a purpose. I wanted more. So I said, I could give them that platform. And that's when I started investing in cameras, in my studio lights, my desktop, I never thought I would ever pay money for an editing program, but I have that now. And it just makes me happy to see them be able to take their personality and show it on a camera. And I get to edit it, and I get to make them shine. I get to make them sparkle. I get their personality out. I get everything out that people need to see about them so they can fall in love with them. So that's why I started Tea Time, to show the world my wrestlers and so the world could fall in love with them.
We have one more listener question. Longtime listener Kurt Freezes wants to know, does Paris enjoy bubble tea?
You boba tea? Of course, I love boba tea.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I drink that every day.
Go to spot to get it.
You should go to the Boise Boba.
All right. Well, at this point in time, Coach Mike Jones is with us, and I know he has questions to ask as well, so I'm going to pass things right over to the coach with the most.
Hey, thanks for coming on today. We appreciate your time and your story.
Thank you. I appreciate you giving me time to tell my story. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Okay, my first question starts with, who were your heroes growing up? And that includes ordinary life, sports, music, and wrestling.
Most of my heroes were animal characters.
Okay, there you go. Let us have them.
No, I kid. Who's my hero? Okay, Ellen Ripley.
Who was it?
True. Ellen Ripley from the Alien series.
Okay, yeah.
That is one tough woman who got a group of Marines to listen to her, mostly.
Okay, yeah. Nice.
And she's just tough as nails, and she didn't leave the cat behind, and that's very important to me, that you don't leave your cat behind.
Yes. What about in sports?
It's fairly recently, but one of my heroes is Eddie Kingston.
Right on, okay. And then how about music?
Music, oh Lord. That would be Joe Hayasashi from Studio Ghibli movies, because he's written some just absolutely beautiful scores that still just invoke emotion in me.
Okay. And then did you play sports in high school or growing up?
I played soccer.
And then what's your self-defense background besides wrestling?
None.
Okay. And then in your life, now this next one is called memorable matches. And that first of all, we want to hear about the most memorable matches that you've ever seen. That includes TV, internet, or live.
The most memorable match to me was when Rhea Ripley fought Charlotte Flair for the women's title. That was just insane. That was an insane match, and I was so highly impressed with both of them just for the endurance and the strength and the beating they both took. Like, dang, that was the closest to, like, a woman gladiator match I've ever seen.
Cool. And then what about most memorable matches you've been involved with? Have you had any singles matches or tag team yet besides Battle Royals?
I wish, but I've had but the two Battle Royals. But I will tell you, the one that was the most memorable is when I took on Brad Zane for Project Mayhem, and he just scooped me up and threw me right out. And I was like, well, dang, I tried.
Wow, and he's pretty good, yes.
I'm just happy referee Todd Silver caught me and I didn't collide with the cement.
Okay. And then who's your favorite people to work with?
My favorite person to work with? Oh, no, I don't know. I'm supposed to be unbiased. Oh, no. I don't know if they're listening.
You can't think of no one.
Oh, I have some. I just don't want to hurt anyone's feelings.
Okay, well, it's the same thing. My next question would be, who's your toughest opponent? So you might have to pick someone. Yeah.
That'd be especially for hire Jeffrey Allen, because he's so tall and he can literally just flick me away like a little insect.
Okay. And this next
to go back to your... Oh, I'm sorry.
What's that?
To go back to your previous question, I'll have to say Pascal, but I'm biased there.
Okay. And then this next segment is called Favorites. I'm sure Sign Guy and the rest of the fans would like to know what your favorite coffee to drink is if you drink coffee.
I have my own special blend. I mix espresso, a scoop of brown sugar, and a scoop of choco milk. Mix it together, pour hot water in it. Oh, that's the most delicious thing.
Okay. And then what's your favorite concert that you've seen?
Favorite concert?
Yes.
My favorite concert was a long time ago. There's this orchestra that goes around video games, music, live. It's interactive, and I play all, how do I describe it? Basically an orchestrion group. I'm losing the word for a second. They play all the old, like Atari, Super Nintendo, Nintendo 64, Sega, Square Enix, all the really old video games from, you know, yesteryears. And, oh, it's so much fun. It's so much fun. It's just to hear those classics in that format just stays with me and it's still with me.
Right on. Okay. And then in your lifetime, what have been your favorite sports teams?
Not that skin. let's see. Okay, I got to go back to wrestling for this one. I'd have to say New Day.
New Day? Okay, for teams?
Yeah.
Okay. So no basketball, football, baseball, hockey, none of those. No soccer team.
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
Not a sports girl.
And then who are some up-and-comers people should keep their eye on out there?
Gabriel Living. He is a very promising young wrestler. Adore him. I hate him so much because he can do his little back moonsault thing, and I really want to do that. But anyway, Oh my God, who else? I don't like to say all of them, but that's just because I'm so fond of all of them.
Yeah, okay. And then what are your suggestions for people wanting to get into the business?
Don't get into the business thinking that you're going to go straight to the top anytime soon. You may start out as background, start as the background crew. You can try being a referee, whatnot, but be humble. Don't go in throwing your weight around thinking, you know, you're the cock of the walk because you're going to get put in your place very, very fast. Go in with a mindset of working together and not against each other, if that makes sense.
Absolutely, yes. Now, what schools would you suggest for people?
Schools?
Yeah.
Like college?
Any kind of school, mainly wrestling schools, though.
I'm going to have to skip on that because I don't know any.
Okay. And then what do you got coming up?
Oh, my gosh. Here, 1 second. I just had it pulled up. Doing everything on my phone, so bear with me 1 second.
Otherwise known as multitasking while you're on it, yes.
Oh, my God, right? And I'm just like, oh, no.
It makes it twice as hard. Don't hang
up. My files. My files.
Sign guy, are you gonna hum a tune or what?
You want me to hum the Coach Mike Jones theme song?
There you go. Thank you, Sign. Okay.
That wasn't bad.
Okay.
There you go, yeah.
Okay, so our next event, I might be skipping over one, but the next event I have is July 12th to the 14th for the Idaho Horror Pop Convention, which will be at Expo Idaho. Start Saturday, July 13th. Our times are to be announced, rosters to be announced. So you just have to go to facebook.com/IdahoWrestleClub and click the box button so you can keep up to date to all of our events. But, yes, that's going to be a lot of fun, definitely dressing up.
Very cool. And then do you want to give any more shout-outs for people who helped you get to where you're at in wrestling?
Yes, I have many. They're on my list. Let's see. I'm not going to name them, but they know who they are if they're listening. My angels who really helped me and mentored me because I initially wanted to quit and not come back because various reasons. But they helped me out and switched my perspective. So shout out to them. I want to do a shout out to Evie Kiyoshi for hyping me up always. Outlaw Rescue Livings because he has been helping me out and he gave me a lot of tips with my filming and post-production of certain things. So he gave me like a nice springboard and then I got to bring myself off into the deep end. The owner of Wrestle Club, Patrick Holloway, he also mentored me with the filming and giving me a lot of good advice so my videos can keep improving. And really biggest one I want to say is my co-commentator, Eric Cole. Eric, if you're listening, you have been an amazing co-commentator, and we have really great chemistry, and he's helped me with timing and talking and helping me improve being funny so I can entertain the crowd. And, yeah. And everyone else in Wrestle Club, y'all know who you are.
Okay. And then, man, I really was impressed by your production of your video for Turnbuckle Turmoil that you provided. That was really sweet. And it was nice that we've been able to verbally commit to a show. Hopefully I can get you on sometime in June. I would really appreciate that. We do appreciate your interview for Turnbuckle Turmoil, and I wish you all the luck in the world, and I'm sure Sign Guy has some more for you.
All right. Thank you, Coach. Thank you for chatting with me.
You're welcome. Thank you. And I'm still here, though.
Oh,
all right. Thank you, Coach. Well, Paris, one of the things you probably have noticed in your time doing commentary, and obviously you know this from having trained a bit, injuries are part of the wrestling business. Doing commentary, what's the most serious injury you've witnessed?
I witnessed... Oh, Lordy. The most recent one that comes to mind is we had a wrestler get hit in the mouth, and then it was like a waterfall, and we had to, like, the referees and a couple of the wrestlers had to run out and get him out of the ring, get the blood cleaned up, and then get on with the show. Come to find out they had to leave a little early, go to a ER, and my poor club member. They're doing better now, but still, that was very hairy.
Sometimes a busted mouth is just unavoidable.
Uh-huh. Comes with the territory.
Now, you mentioned referee Todd Silver catching you, which I was relieved to see because my heart dropped around to my liver when I saw you going over the rope. But, Wrestle Club over the years have had some very, very good refs. A lot of them have moved on to active full-time wrestler, but we still have Todd Silver out there and some other very fine officials. Who would you say has been some of your favorite officials to watch in the ring, be it past or present?
Well, number one, it's Todd Silver. I gotta give him the gold, even though he's silver. Sign Guy, you are very fun to watch in the ring. When you went up against Brad Zade and you pulled out the official rule book, and I was just like, get the SUA out of this, Zane.
It was right there in chapter 3, paragraph 4.
Cool.
Exactly, and he just couldn't take it as fact.
Exactly.
Must be his education.
Now, since you've been with Wrestle Club, obviously you guys wrestle in front of some pretty good crowds out there, and you have Key Time with Paris out there. Do you get recognized in public by fans very often?
I personally have not. Yet. One day.
Always carry a Sharpie just in case.
You know, I will. I'll put a Sharpie in my bag.
Very smart. Now, a lot of listeners will not know this, but in Idaho, there is a wrestling commission and there is licensing for professional wrestling. Do you ever look into the licensing aspect of wrestling and look at becoming licensed just in case you want to enter, say, a WWE Battle Royal someday?
I have looked into it, and I have considered it for the future. Like, if my presence in the wrestling world gets a little bigger, maybe people get to know me more. Then they're like, hey, you would be awesome if you did this, or you'd be awesome if you went there. And it came down to if it was worth it to get that license, then I would go for it.
Fair enough. Huh? We know that wrestlers themselves have to be in very good shape in order to do what they do, and part of being in shape is diet, and wrestling is also a very cosmetic business in general terms. Do you have a specific diet that you maintain in order to be ready for Wrestle Club?
I am getting back into my diet and my exercising. I have eased up a lot on fast food. And I would ease up, like, I'd go get McDonald's coffees, like the iced coffees, walk into work with it, shaking it, being annoying like that. I've eased up on that. I have quit full sugar sodas. I only stick with zero calories or water. I've eased up on the energy drinks. I make myself move more. And I get back into stretching and everything. So really, it's just for me in moderation, but not, you know, I don't have to have a treat yourself with a little piece of candy every single day. So that really is, you know, trying to add more greens to my diet, maybe some supplements, like a multivitamin or something. And then ramping back up on my cardio because, we did cardio last week and I about died.
Well, I'm glad you didn't.
Me too.
With the injury, like you said, it was sort of tough for you to do a whole lot, especially if you're in a neck brace. You can be fairly limited as far as what you can physically do. Do you have a specific exercise program that was modified because of the injury, or are you to the point where you didn't really have to change anything and you're able to do your standard workout that you would have done before?
So when I got hurt, I didn't have any way to get checked by a doctor. So a lot of it was just kind of the internet and crossing my fingers. But I would go back and I did a lot of yoga and like neck stretches. I had one of those little logs that you put on your neck and you roll up and down. I have a tennis ball I do that with now just to get the knots out. And then I added some weightlifting. I was like, okay, well, if I can lift these weights and not have my neck crack, oh, my God, then I'm on good. Now, going back to wrestling, I have added I made myself a little neck pad. And it's like a snood. And then I took a part of a knee brace. It's really foamy. And the way it sits where I had hurt my neck beforehand, so when I'm doing front rolls, back bumps, front bumps even, that little extra padding is there so my neck isn't crying and wanting to commit revenge on me when I get done with practice. And then it's just also I'm more conscientious and going slow with learning moves and really trying to get the basics down flat before I do anything that could potentially put more stress or hurt onto my neck.
Very, very smart. Now, we're in an era of wrestling right now that is unprecedented. We've seen TKO purchase WWE, and we've seen what looks to be the last of Vince McMahon being in charge of that company as it moves forward. You also have AEW at the national level. Ring of Honor is separate but still under the AEW banner. Impact Wrestling is going strong on Access TV. WOW Women of Wrestling is nationally televised, so there's never been more national wrestling as far as companies that are on all over the country at this time. What do you think of the rise in popularity and the changing climate of professional wrestling that we're seeing?
Well, bit of, there's more accessibility, and I like that there's more accessibility. I like that there isn't as much of a monopoly on the professional wrestling, like when Vince McMahon was in power, and, you know, there were the little small fries that couldn't go up against the big behemoth, the Leviathan that was WWE. And then when AEW came around and they started getting popular, and it's like, that's when I saw the tides turning. That's when I saw ROW getting a little more popular, Impact, and I started learning all these wrestlers' names. And then with the advancement of streaming services and the internet, there's more ways of getting your product out and some darn interest in your wrestlers. I'm enjoying that more wrestling is around. I enjoy it. I love it. I think the more wrestling, the better. And I welcome people into the fandom. I welcome them into the community. I don't care if they've been fans for 10 minutes or 10 years. If you're interested in having fun, come talk to me. We can have fun and talk. In a way, it reminds me back when anime got really big, you know, in the 90s, early 2000s, but there was no TV, and if it was awful. Oh, God, poor kids. Oh, memories. And then the more it kept going, and the more that came over to the U.S., and the more people got into it, and then cosplay got really popular, and it's like, now we have streaming services just anime. We've cut so much anime, we don't know what to do with it. And I love it because it brought more people in and it brought more people together. So I see that with wrestling is there's more of it to, it's a bigger net to get more people interested and involved. And I say, welcome, more the merrier. Just, you know, the only thing I ask is don't be talking about it. You know, if you like one program over the other, okay, that doesn't mean that other program is a bad program. Oh, that was a long answer. I'm so sorry.
That's all good. Yeah, I agree with you on that. Like I said, we're in the era where Vince McMahon is most likely gone from WWE forever, and of course that was in large part due to the horrific scandal that went down earlier this year. Looking at things from your perspective of it as a more of a casual observer, do you think once there's a trial or if there is a settlement or anything like that, that this will affect the popularity of wrestling on, say, the independent level where people are turned off by wrestling, or do you think that it will have no real bearing at the independent level?
I think that it will make the independent level more, and let me explain what I mean, is for the longest time there has been McMahon, and then there's been this, like, preconceived notions or this expectation of what it's like to be a wrestler, or you hear all these stories of, like, wrestlers, and it's, someone has a problem with you, you're going to go out to the parking lot, punch them in the face, or the brawls in the locker room, which, don't get me wrong, that still happens to this day. I mean, you know, AEW, but I'm so sorry. Sorry about that. But since McMahon is being taken off, and we've seen kind of like the whole vibe, the whole energy of that company shift around. So it's like, the wrestlers are being respected. They're not being forced to do silly things. They're not having some individual who just has, oh, God, I don't know how to describe. Mr. McMahon isn't, you know, screaming in someone's ear from an earpiece about something they did wrong. But he's not, there's consistency. There's a consistency in the tone of the bigger shows now, like WWE. And me, personally, the quality has gotten good. I stopped watching WWE for a long time because it was so boring to me. because it was the same thing. And some of my favorite wrestlers, they just got the short end of the stick, and I'm like, this is not fun for me. So I stopped watching it for a long time. Now that I've gone back and watched it more than just the highlights on YouTube, I'm like, wow, this is actually a pretty good show. I'm not saying it's perfect. It is 100% not perfect. No show is perfect. But I think the way that WWE is being perceived now that that toxic person is out of power pretty much, and Triple H has taken over, and of course, you know, you're going to get people who don't agree with all the changes. You know, let's go back to the Attitude Era, blah, 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 whatever. Whatever. But I think because of that tonal shift, and that tonal shift I can see shifting down to the indies, which in turn, once it gets around that, hey, you know, these clubs are more inviting, we're not going to, you know, haze you, we're not going to do anything horrendous, or we're going to be inviting and whatnot. I think when the preconceived notion of it's just a locker room full of brutes gets changed to it's a locker room of brotherhood, I think that's going to make independent wrestling more appealing and more sought after.
In the last several years, we have seen more females have bigger positions in the national spotlight than ever before. We've seen women main event WrestleMania. We have seen Renee Paquette as a lead caller commentator on Raw for a while. We've seen just the other day, former guest of this show, Jessica Carr, main event, officiate a world title match on a premium live event. So more than ever, there are top spots for females in wrestling. Do you think that maybe you got into the business at the right time as far as being a female in wrestling and having genuine opportunities, if you want them, to succeed?
You know, I've never really thought of it like that. I think in terms of getting into wrestling at the right time, I think that's just a coincidence, to be honest with you. I never entered clubs thinking of these grand grandeur matches, or I was going to be anybody important in club. I figured I was just a member, so I believe that timing is a coincidence to me. Oh, God, I just lost my train of thought. I'm so sorry.
I didn't mean to derail you.
No, it's okay. I forgot the second part of that question because I was so concentrated.
It was basically just, do you think you got in at the right opportunity in wrestling because of genuine opportunities if you wanted them to succeed?
Well, I do have genuine opportunities. You know, the opportunity to build what I have built here in the garden of Wrestle Club. I have my own little space. So I believe I do have opportunities. But again, I think the climate shift of women being bigger in wrestling, that timing was just a coincidence.
Fair enough. Well, I believe Coach Mike Jones might have a little bit more. Coach, you got something else for Paris?
Oh, I was wondering if you were going to help me come up with a word association because I only came up with like three or four so far. But I guess I'll start, and then you can add to my list. So This next segment is called Word Association.
Oh, Lord.
I'll throw out a name. You can either tell us a description or one word that describes them. So,
play it
Aiden.
On me.
So, Aiden.
Hate it.
Okay. What about the Crawford boy?
Crawford boy?
What's his name? Stein guy?
I think you're thinking of Chuck Yeager, Coach.
Oh, Chuck Yeager. Okay, yes, Chuck Yeager. Sorry.
Tolerate.
Okay. And then what about Chase James?
I don't know who that is, but I'm going to say like it in case he's powerful.
And what about Garibay?
Super awesome person, even if he doesn't show it.
And then, Sign Guy, do you have more to add to the list?
I can throw
some more names.
I got you. Here we go. How about Todd Silver?
The most wise of refs.
Rick Knight.
A mystery.
The Punkettos.
I want a random for my birthday.
Brad Zing.
Drama queen.
And what about Cali's best J. Cruz?
Can I describe him with a sound?
All right. What about Kiki Starling?
The word I'm looking for, I can't say because children might be listening.
Fair enough. All right, and the last name on word association will go with bodyguard for hire.
Guam, without a return label. As in, I wish I could stuff him in a box and mail him to Guam.
Now, is there any specific reason why Guam?
I mean, it's still U.S. territory, so he has a higher chance of getting back without too much trouble.
Not without a return label.
Well, that's his problem, now, isn't it?
I see. All right. Now, Russell Club...
For legal reasons, that's a joke.
Okay, we'll throw out the disclaimer. But now, one of the unique things about Wrestle Club, for those that have not been to an event in person, you guys do commentary over the PA system for the fans to hear. Sometimes that's a very difficult thing to pull off because not a lot of commentators truly grasp what it is they're supposed to do to make it successful. Wrestle Club does it better than most places I've seen try it. What do you think it is about over the PA commentary that, like, some wrestling fans love and others hate, but what do you think makes it successful for Wrestle Club?
Well, what makes successful is, again, with my partner, Eric Cole. Now, he's more of a technical guy. I'm getting a lot better about calling moves and learning moves. So, but he mostly will do that. He is also a professional comedian. So he has his humor, his wit about him that really makes him just such a wonderful asset. He can really get the crowd laughing and going. And then me and my, I don't even know what to call it, I feed off him because our chemistry is really, really good, and you guys are going to laugh. So I got my commentary style inspiration from AEW Dark, listening to Taz and Mark Henry and I don't remember what the Big Show calls himself now, but Big Show, and listening to Excalibur. And for the more serious, I was listening to Jim Ross. And then WWE, I'm sorry, I adore Pat McAfee. He is just gold. Love him. So I thought to myself, I was like, okay, I know I'm not the most smartest when it comes to the technical part, but if I can be a big enough goofball, I can make the audience laugh. Well, laughter is a powerful thing. Laughter is what can keep people engaged. So I worked really hard studying old. I like to get my humor from like the old, like 80s, 90s movies, where the humor was really simple, like Ghostbusters 2, terrible-ish movie, but there's a lot of humor in it that I really like the courthouse scene. Just watch it. It is hilarious. There's a lot of quick-witted words. There's a lot of facial expressions. I don't like to tell jokes per se, but I like to make funny observations or feed off of what my co-commentator is stating. But my biggest goal is to be as funny to keep the audience engaged, but not overdo it to where I just become annoying. So we try to balance that out. Another thing I like to do is while being funny, and I like to commentate on what happened in the previous show. Like we just had a big match where Gabriel Livings won back his dad's Rusty Livings contract to be back into Wrestle Club. I gave a quick, hey, this is what happened, and Bordertown Comic Con several months back, there was a split match where Cruz won and Outlaw was to Club. And then the crescendo to get his contract back is his son fighting Steve Cruz. So I will, in situations like that, I will give a quick, basically a recap of, hey, here's why they're fighting, and here's why you should care. And to me, if that puts one person and gets them to stay, that's audience retention. And that is always my goal, is to entertain, keep audience retention, or be as loud and funny and goofy as I can be while feeding off Eric Cole to get people maybe walking by to come over and see us.
Well, Paris, we are getting down to the last bit of the show today, and I want to make sure you have ample time. If there is anything you want to say to the listeners, plug and promote anything and everything you'd like, from social media to upcoming appearances to merchandise to your favorite coffee shop, anything at all, floor is yours.
Oh, goodness, I didn't prepare for this one. Oh, wow. Well, I would like people to please come to my Facebook, facebook.com/PeterRemio. I primarily post up there. I have a YouTube, youtube.com/mooncastical. I made it a long time ago. Don't make fun of me. Because that's where I primarily post my videos, my social media posts. Let's see. The wrestling, once again, there's youtube.com/wrestleclub. We have a great library of very old videos from the olden days to more recent. Facebook.com/IdahoWrestleClub, that is where we predominantly post. Our Instagram/IdahoWrestleClub. I think that's about it. Yeah, please go there, like them, find the different wrestlers. But mostly, come see us. You know, if you want pictures of the wrestlers, come take pictures. If you want to come and boo whoever, come do that. We just want you guys to. We love seeing our fans. We love seeing, you know, the little kids. I can tell you my favorite thing is riling the little children up into, like, Lord of the Flies level frenzy. That's, if I do that, I win the day. Let's see, what else? If anyone ever wants to come to an event and bring me a pistachio lavender boba tea, I will not say no. Next event. So we've got
several events coming up in June and July. Oh, wait, no, I don't think June. I know July and August we have Pop Horror Con. We have the Boise Goathead Festival. We were there last year. That was a lot of fun. That's a free event. And, again, go to facebook.com/IdahoWrestleClub. We'll have all the details. You can click that you're going to the events. And then come and see us. We want to see you. You know, picture for us. Come take pictures. Let's see. What else? Fine guy, when are we going to see you again?
Hopefully very soon. I'm waiting on getting some dates from the fine management there at Wrestle Club. And then as soon as I do that, I'll pin down some dates, and I shall make my return.
Oh, my God, I can't wait. You are so amazing, and I want to get more pictures and interviews with you.
We will make that happen as soon as I get back there. Put a bug in the ear of the management.
You know, I will. I'll put a whole herd of cicadas in his ear.
I didn't say cause him severe physical harm, just a single bug in the ear.
They're tiny cicadas. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I do want to say my favorite memory of you, Sign Guy, is when we were at the kids' fair, and I was like, can I run the ropes and heels? And I did. And you came over to compliment me, and I blushed, and I was like, oh, that is a wrestling person thinks I'm cool. I just want you to know that.
I remember the heels. I was a little concerned in the Battle Royal if you were going to wear those heels, as I recall it.
I'll tell you something. I actually was practicing with those heels, like going out to the ring for practice and just practicing, seeing what I can do without, you know, busting my ankles.
Wow.
Always
yeah.
Smart. Always smart to test it out first. All right, well, Paris, I want to thank you very, very much for being here with us tonight. We definitely enjoyed having you, and as soon as we get those dates pinned, I'll be seeing you there in Idaho.
Hooray! Maybe we can have a cup of tea together.
I would welcome that. You know, I'm a proud subscriber to Tea Time Magazine.
Thank you. Oh, yeah, if anybody hasn't subscribed to my YouTube page, please do it. I appreciate you.
All right. Well, as we wrap up, Coach, you have some things to plug, promote.
Yes, I'll be liking that here in just a second. But you guys can check me out at Coach Mike Jones, the coach with the most. Coach Mike Jones on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter. Don't forget to check out the Real School Army and the NGW Green Room for hundreds of interviews from celebrities all over the world. And, of course, the Real School Army. Then, of course, you can hear me and Sign Guy most of the time as my co-host on my show, the Coach Mike Jones Show podcast, every Saturday at noon Pacific. Next week I have Zuka King. And on the 18th I have Drew Skills. And I'm in talks with Vern Siebert, Moondog Moretti, and the Super Beast. Want to thank all you guys for all your support and feedback and love and Sign Guy and all the fans. Thank you so much. We love you and appreciate it.
Coach, my best advice is on the 18th, don't be sucking.
Yes, I already knew that. I already told him, yes.
All
right. Already knew.
Well, fans, you can find us later this week on Friday. We'll be back with you. We have John Davidson, manager out of the Pacific Northwest, with us. Sunday afternoon, we continue with Controversies Month. We're going to be discussing the Billy Jack Haynes controversy with some people that were around Billy Jack Haynes for periods of time. Well, that should be an interesting show. Everybody get out there, support your local independent professional wrestling wherever it may be, and we will talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye.